Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Very happy to have Kevin McGrath with us today. Kevin writes about music and film for Wales Arts Review. He's a juror for the Welsh Music Prize and the author of Pop Hack, a collection of music reviews and interviews. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Ken. Great pleasure to come on the show.
Now, all the stuff that I mentioned is stuff that we're really not going to talk about, because I'm sure anybody who's listening wants to know about the amazing collections that you have orchestrated and just put out. Have Yourself a Merry Indie Christmas, Volume 1 and 2. Now, for anybody listening who hasn't heard of these yet, you've probably heard some of the songs already on the Sounds of Christmas station, but Kevin put this collection together of 108 original Christmas songs by indie artists, all to benefit a homeless charity called Crisis UK. Is everything I've said so far correct?
Yeah, absolutely spot on. Crisis UK is a prominent homeless charity in the UK, and it has a specific program each year which it raises money for called Crisis at Christmas, where the aim is to provide a Christmas meal, a bed, medical health checkups, and ongoing guidance and advice for anybody that comes through the door there.
It seems like an obvious choice for an organization to support, especially at this time of year. Was there anything more to it that led you to connect with them?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, on an individual basis, as a family, we've always donated to Crisis at Christmas. I've been very lucky. I grew up in a happy home, and I've had a happy family life myself with my wife and our children. So we've loved Christmas and we've loved Christmas music. But I'm very familiar with, you know, the fact that doesn't chime with a lot of people. A lot of people's, sadly, experience of Christmas is a, you know, it could be a harsh one, can be a less fortunate one. So thinking about those kinds of people at Christmas seems a good thing to do. And Crisis, I think, it touches my heart because of that. Yeah.
Now, this collection, it's a little overwhelming how many artists and how many songs that you've got here. At first glance, there were three bands that leapt out to me just because I recognized them and I play some of their earlier Christmas music on the Sounds of Christmas. That's Vista Blue, The Boy Least Likely To, and The Yule Logs. I also saw Eddie Reeder on there, and we play her song Bell Book and Candle every October when we shift to Halloween music. And I was a big fan of Fairground Attraction back when also. But how did you connect with so many bands and get them to agree to give you a song for this?
Yeah, it's an interesting choice of word that you use, overwhelming, because it is and was an overwhelming project, really. When I started out, I didn't have any inkling for how many what I would call great Christmas original songs were in the ether. I didn't want it to be a covers album. I mean, I love my Christmas music. I love playing the same songs each year, the great classics. There's, you know, that is just essential part of Christmas for me. But I didn't want to duplicate that because there are so many, you know, versions of those songs already out there. So what I didn't know was how many great original Christmas songs are there that I can track down. So I just, because of my health circumstances, I'm at home. I don't have much else to do given the COVID sort of fallout for people like me that are not entirely protected even by vaccines. So back in sort of late January, I started it just after Christmas, which was a bit silly because that was the one time when I perhaps didn't want to put on a Christmas song. I just had, you know, 2 months solid of that. But nevertheless, I thought I'd make an early start because this could be hard work. There may not be much material. And if there is, where do I find it? How do I track it down? But what I found was the opposite. I found that once you had an idea where to look, and that's like places like your site and the various podcasts and indie stations that, you know, prepare indie Christmas mixes each year. And I found a few really good blogs that had so much information that once I started to track bands down, I couldn't stop. And I would have been quite happy with 30 songs, but I kept on finding songs where I thought, I've got to have that song. It's such a great song. The melodies are great. The lyrics are great. You know, the vocals are great. And I cannot have a compilation without that song. And I ended up drawing a line at 108 songs, which is overwhelming. But I turned down a lot more. I had a lot more songs in which I really liked, and I could have gone up to 150 and whatever. So there's no filler on the album. They're, to my mind, they're all brilliant songs.
Yeah, it is certainly refreshing just from somebody who gets lots of Christmas music, lots of collections, and hears lots of stuff, to not hear 100 different versions of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You or Jingle Bell Rock. And nothing against those songs. I love those songs, but to hear all of these artists doing their own thing, it's terrific. And you hear so many people always say that there's no new Christmas music that's any good. And here's 108 for you across two albums. And that's just amazing in and of itself. And then you can get these, and, you know, I almost want to say you can get them for a song, because they're two collections. So there's 54 songs on each one, and they're £7, which works out to about $8 and change in America, which is amazing for the amount of songs that are on there. And the money goes to a great cause.
Yeah, I think I've pitched the price right. I mean, I'm no expert on, you know, how much people are willing to pay for digital music. I'm a bit of a vinyl CD man myself. My kids don't listen to music in any other way except for digital. But for me, it's a bit of a new thing. But I thought that, you know, given the cause, given the cost of living crisis, I thought that was a fair price to charge, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. And when you went through this process of contacting artists and asking for songs, were there any kind of guidelines that you set for this, or were these all songs that you knew of in advance that you wanted?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I did not know of 90% of those songs that appeared on the volumes. So that was what was really enjoyable. It was hard work because I did spend many hours every day for probably 7 or 8 months, you know, repeatedly listening to indie songs that I was uncovering via these blogs, websites, stations, and so on. But there was such a thrill when you hear the song, you think, what a great song. I've uncovered a great song, or not uncovered it, it's already been there, but I'll be able to bring it to a lot of people like me who had never heard it. And there's so many songs on this album where you think, how on earth is that not a well-known song? I'll just throw one example out there. There's a wonderful ballad on there by an artist called Shelley Harland called In My Arms for Christmas. And if you hear that and you put that on an album alongside, you know, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, or, you know, New Year's Eve, whatever great standard from the American songbook you'd want to listen to, it would fit right in alongside it. It's an absolutely wonderful song. And there are a lot of examples like that on the albums, I'd like to think.
Now, with this just out, and I know this was really a heroic undertaking to go through all of these songs, and you mentioned that there were, for want of a better word, leftovers that you could have gone to 150. Yeah. Is there somewhere in the back of your mind an Indie Christmas Volume 3?
Possibly, although I don't know, because 108 tracks is a lot to get under your belt. And I'm not sure if I'll do this again at any level. I did one last year for a cancer hospital where I've been a patient. And so this is my second go at it. It is exhausting and time consuming. And I think I'd have to go some to top 108 Christmas songs I'm very proud of. But you never know. Maybe next July I'll start to have that hankering to do it again. Who knows?
Yeah, I typically ask, I have a lot of artists on the podcast and to talk about their new releases. And because Christmas music is such a big focus of what I do, it's hard not to ask if there's going to be more. I know you just spent the last year putting this together, a labor of love, but still a labor. And now it's done. And here's this guy saying, so is there more coming?
No, I mean, I'm tempted. It's had some wonderful reviews so far, right across the board. So that does serve as encouragement to, you know, to try and replicate it again next year. Yeah.
Now, both of these are on Bandcamp. Is it exclusive to Bandcamp, or are these available elsewhere as well?
It is exclusive to Bandcamp. So it's a matter of, you know, popping onto Google, typing in Bandcamp. Up will come the Bandcamp website. Just type in, have yourself a merry indie Christmas, and up they will come.
And I'll put links to it in the show notes for this episode. Yeah. So anybody who's listening can just pop down and click on over there and give some of the songs a listen and support a great cause. What is it about this that you think people should know that we haven't already mentioned?
I think the key thing for me is that people know that I've selected the songs because they are, in my view, brilliant songs. I mean, what makes a great song? Well, it's either the melody or the lyric or the vocal or all three. So when I was listening, I wasn't listening for something that just mentioned the word Christmas and then, okay, yeah, I'll have that. I was listening for, is this a great song? Will I want to play this song every Christmas going forward in the way that I want to play the great Christmas songs that we all sort of know and love? So that was a standard I was setting myself, which is quite a high standard. So the songs that I managed to secure from the various artists and labels, they meet that standard to my mind. And I think anybody that likes music, likes to talk about music, likes to think about what makes a great song, will find plenty to like on these albums.
Yeah, I'm not about to ask you what are your favorites, because that's like picking a favorite child.
Yeah.
But when you set out to do this, were there particular artists that you had in mind, you know, a holy grail of artist and song that you were trying to get? Were there any of those that you had in mind and that you were able to get?
Well, what I had in mind initially was when I did the album for the Cancer Center last year, I was so fortunate, I managed to get a number of artists who I'd always loved. They were in my record collection from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and it meant a lot to me. I managed to get a few of those on board. So I thought it'd be nice if I could get a few of the bands that I really loved to contribute. And I was successful on two or three occasions. I'd always, when I started to write about music, one of the first pieces I did for my blog was my five favorite Christmas albums. So one of the albums I chose for that was an album by a Scottish band called the Pearl Fishers. They'd written an album of original Christmas songs called A Sunflower at Christmas. And we always play that album every year in the McGrath household. So I was absolutely thrilled to get a track from that album called Snowboarding on the album. And one of my favorite artists over the years has been the Roaches, the American band the Roaches. So it was a big thrill to get Christmas Love by Suzzy Roach and Lucy Wainwright Roach on the album. That was wonderful. So there were bands that I loved that I, you know, to have them on this album is like a heck of a thrill for me.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt. And for people who are listening in the US and they're hearing about this, it's not exclusively UK indie bands. I had mentioned Vista Blue, and Mike from that band has been on this podcast a couple of times. So there were no geographical boundaries on this either.
No, every song on there is in the English language, but there are songs from, there are many songs from America, from all parts of America, Nashville, Texas, Wisconsin, Ohio, New York, California, just off the top of my head, and plenty of others. But there's songs from Australia, Spain, Denmark, Sweden, Germany, Belgium, all in English language, all either Indian in style, which would specific genre of indie music, or independent label music in the various fields of Americana or maybe electro. There's a little bit of folk and country in there. There's quite a few Americana songs in there. So there's quite a few Christmas ballads that are even by call easy listening or whatever. So yeah, it goes across a range of styles as well. Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay if you don't know the band's name. I encourage you to click the links that you'll see in the show notes and go to the Bandcamp pages for either of these volumes, because people who haven't been to Bandcamp before may not know this, but I think every single song on there is streamable, so you can check it out and you can listen to some of these and see how great they are. I'm not guaranteeing that you will like every single one of 108 songs, but I think that you'll find a lot of things on there that you will like. And when you consider, if you're just looking at this as at the price point, it's quite a deal to get, you know, 54 songs for about $8. And then you get both. You have over 100 songs for less than $20. It's a great deal. And there's so much terrific music on there, and you can check it out. Bandcamp also does this thing called Bandcamp Fridays. Unfortunately, we're recording this in the middle of November, so we've missed the November one, but there's another one coming up the first Friday in December, where when you buy something on Bandcamp, Bandcamp waives their fees. So all the proceeds would go to Prices UK. So it's a great deal. That's one of the things that I really like about Bandcamp. Is that the reason that you picked Bandcamp?
Yes, it's one of the reasons, certainly. And Bandcamp Friday was really important for us, because we put it out just before the first Bandcamp Friday in November, specifically to catch an extra Bandcamp Friday. And I tried to ask people who knew the album was coming to hold on for Bandcamp Friday, and they did. And it raised about £2,000 just on that one Friday, wow. Bandcamp Friday. So just so everyone knows, I never make a penny out of this whenever you buy it. But if you do buy it on a Bandcamp Friday, then Bandcamp waive their commission, which I think is about 12 or 15%. So it does really generate a lot more in funds for Crisis if you do buy it on Bandcamp Friday, which I think is the 2nd of December coming up.
So you definitely want to click out these links and check out the songs, and then you can just bookmark the page so you can head right back there. Or go ahead and get it now if you're worried that you're going to forget, because it's a couple great collections. I noticed when this first came out that there were, I think, 104, 106 songs, and then it was just sort of creeping up. Is 108 where it ends?
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I had a couple of bands who promised to deliver songs, and then they sort of disappeared, and I thought, okay, this is never going to happen. And then a couple came in just after I'd launched it, delivered their songs. I didn't have the heart to turn them down. So I popped them on the end, making it 108. But that should be it. Unless Yoko Ono gets back to me. And I did try Yoko Ono, believe me. I did try. But nothing yet. But if she comes back with a late entry, she's going on. It'll be 109.
Were there other really big names like that that you reached out to just to try? And it's okay if you don't want to say.
Yeah, I had some near misses. I mean, it was one of the great things about a project like this is you never know where it's going to take you and who you might come across. I mean, I loved a band in which, I don't know, your listeners may or may not know, but there was a great band from Australia in the 90s and the 2000s, 80s, 90s called the Go-Betweens. And they were one of my all-time favorite bands. I absolutely loved them. And I found myself dealing with the one-time bass player, Robert Vickers, who is now an A&R man for a record label. And one of the German stations who played my last album put me in touch with him and said, I'll try Robert. He might have some people he can recommend. And it was only a while into that I realized it was Robert Vickers from the Go-Betweens. So that was a thrill. But in terms of who I tried to get, I was very close to getting maybe Christmas, Ron Sexsmith. Ron Sexsmith was on board all the way with this project. He engaged with me from the start. He was very keen to be involved, but he didn't own the rights to the song. It was with a previous label. He put me in touch with management and the label, but I couldn't get it over the line, sadly. And the other one of the other interesting ones I had was the Webb brothers, the sons of Jimmy Webb, the great singer-songwriter. They had a Christmas song which I wanted, and again, they had to refer me to their label, which they did. But they also put me in touch with their father, saying he's got a great Christmas album, which I was aware of. But that never came off either, sadly. And then the other near miss I had was Chris Butler, who wrote the Waitress's great Christmas song, Christmas Rapping. He got in touch with me and said, I'm quite happy for you to have this song if you can get Richard Thompson, the folk rock hero, to record it. I heard him doing a version in concert a couple of years ago. And if you could persuade him into doing it, I'll let you have it for the album, which would have broken my no covers policy, but I would have been happy to do that for one song. But it didn't get anywhere either. So there were some close shaves.
Nothing from Sir Elton.
Sir Elton, yeah. Ed Sheeran, Sir Elton, yeah. I have fired off plenty of standard emails to their labels and so forth, but you do tend to find the bigger they are, the less likely you are to be able to reach them, sadly. I'm sure quite a few of these artists would have happily, you know, contributed something, but you're just never going to get in touch with them to find out, sadly.
Yeah. So many of them have, they're just so many layers of representatives that you have to go through.
Absolutely.
To be able to get to them. It is very difficult, even though because of social media now, so many are so much more approachable.
Yeah.
That you could have a conversation with some of these people on Twitter or on Facebook.
Yeah.
But you still have to go through all of the channels. So
yeah.
That is tough. And to put, I mean, this is just a mammoth collection. So I'm sure that there was plenty involved just to get that done, let alone jump through all the hoops somebody at a major record label would have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There were some great songs I didn't quite get. Where I thought, oh, if I can only get this song. But so there were failures, but equally there were lots of punch the air moments when I would suddenly get an email pop up and someone would say, yeah, of course you can have the song. And it would be woohoo, you know, because there were some great songs I got hold of. I could not believe it. I would run off, shout to my wife or my kids, say, come and listen to this. This is going to be on the album.
Were they on board and as excited? Because I know that I start working on the Sounds of Christmas station. It's almost a year-round kind of thing. And I'll get excited about connecting with somebody in February and I will tell my wife about it. And she'll like, okay. I'm happy for you, but it's February. I don't want to think about Christmas music.
Yeah, I do recognize that. I must admit that one of our daughters is still living at home with us, Becky. She's 19, and she's a massive fan of Grey's Anatomy. So when I told her that for the first Snowflake, Boy This Likely To song, which had been a key song during a meeting between McDreamy and Sandra Oh or whatever, she couldn't believe that. I was suddenly cool. I was a cool father there for a while.
That's a great moment. Yeah,
absolutely.
Have yourself a Merry Indie Christmas Volume 1, Volume 2. You can get the links down below or just search them on Bandcamp. Anything that I've missed or that you wish I had asked about?
No, to be honest, Ken, I think you've covered the whole spectrum. You know, it is a bumper ask, 108 songs. And I think the one thing you said, which perhaps is worth re-emphasizing, if someone looks down the list of those songs, they might recognize the odd name. And that can be perhaps a bit off-putting. But one of the great joys of compiling the album was hearing a song for the first time from a band that I didn't know and thinking, wow, what a great song. So whilst name recognition is really important to someone perhaps thinking, okay, I'll buy that album, the fact that you can play the song for free on Bandcamp and listen to it, decide whether you like it. If someone goes down through those tracks and just picks out any number, just listen to track 35 or track 48, you'll find it all as good as the first track. I haven't front loaded it with great songs and then there's a lot of filler. The songs from 1 to 108 are all great songs. I'm like, okay, everyone doesn't have exactly the same music taste, but I think there's, you know, 95% of the songs will appeal broadly across the spectrum of people who might listen to it.
And when you say that they're indie artists, sometimes for people that evokes a certain sort of style or genre of music, and I think that's a little misleading, because this really goes across, I mean, it's Christmas music, but it goes across all boundaries. There are some real rocking songs, there are some ballads, there's something really everywhere in between. It yeah. really is a great collection of songs, and there's something there's more than one for everybody.
Yeah, I've kept melody. I mean, I love a song with a great melody and a great hook, a great chorus. I kept that to the forefront when I was listening to songs. I mean, I like songs that might take four or five plays to get, you know, to get into, but I also like those songs when you hear that a chorus for the first time, you know it's a killer chorus. You know, you can never even get that chorus out of your head. So I have kept that to the forefront. I think people who are, you know, who appreciate a great melody and a great chorus will find plenty of killer choruses right throughout the album. It's not hard work to listen to in any way.
What's the best way for people to connect with you if they want to catch up with what you're doing and what you're up to next?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Facebook and stuff. I am on Twitter. Kev on his soapbox is my Twitter handle. And I have a blog where I'm updating how the album is progressing. You can find a lot of information about the various bands that are on the album and so on, which is redsoapbox.tumblr.com. So yeah, you'll find my email addresses on there as well if anyone wants to email me and ask me anything. Also on Bandcamp, if you do purchase an album, you can follow me on Bandcamp and you can send messages to me. I can send messages to my followers. One thing I haven't mentioned, which may be of interest to people who prefer to have a physical release, is that I will be releasing a CD of 17 tracks from the 17 tracks from the two digital albums, basically from the more jangly, poppy, indie end of the spectrum. But that'll be coming out in time for Bandcamp Friday. It's limited edition. There's only 100 of them. I was lucky to have a label from South Africa contact me and say they'd put the money up to run off 100 CDs if I let them know which songs I wanted on there and so on. So anybody that fancies a physical CD rather than a digital copy can look out for that. Probably going to go on sale just at the beginning of December.
That's terrific. And I had meant to ask you about that, and we got talking about something else. So I'm glad that you threw that in there. It must have been a little tricky narrowing 108 down to 17, though.
Yeah. It was made easier by two things, really. I decided to not attempt to secure some of the songs from bigger artists and bigger labels, because when I was talking to various artists and various labels about whether they would contribute a song, there were a few that were happy to do it because it was digital only, and there were a few that didn't want it to appear on another physical release. So I was able to take a few of those out of the equation. Then there were quite a few artists it was difficult to get in touch with. I might have had to have waited a few months for a response. And when this label came forward with the funding, I needed to have them turn around pretty quick in order that they could get them processed and on sale prior to Christmas and so on. So that did make it easier. So basically, I just dashed off, you know, emails to artists I felt were easier to get in touch with and a little bit more flexible in what they were able to do. And I managed to get 17 pretty quick and stopped it there. So it's not a recognition of that. I think these are the best 17 tracks. As you said earlier on, I can't really pick a favorite out of 108. I like them all. But it's a representative selection of the more guitar-based indie pop rock type songs that you might find on the album.
So you had the compilation last year and you have these two this year. Is there something that you have, at least in the back of your mind, to work on for next year? Or are you going to take a little time off?
I think I am going to take some time off, I think. I mean, I don't know, because it's conceivable that a couple of months will be enough time off. And by March, April next year, someone might suggest something and I might think, yeah, okay, that's worth doing. But it has been an exhaustive process. I did start it in January and I finished it, you know, probably 5-6 weeks ago. So that was a long time because, you can imagine dealing with 108 artists, even with the best will in the world. They were all manners of problems. People couldn't find the track. Their bands had split up and they had to contact fellow members to see if they were on board with it. Then bands wanted to, I want to remaster this. I'm not quite happy with the drum. So this went on and back and forth. So those 108 artists took some nailing down over the course of those months. But I want to thank them one and all because, you know, lots of artists I couldn't reach. And some artists just didn't respond. You'll never know whether you reached them or not, really. But for the 108 that did engage, that I selected, there was many more, as we were saying. But I really want to thank them for that because they didn't have to do it. I mean, these songs were already finished where they'd done them. They'd either, you know, forgotten all about them or, you know, it's just in their past and then had to revisit them. And so I really do thank them for that. And also there were seven or eight songs which were written specially for the album, which I want to thank those artists for as well, because that's going the extra mile when you say, you know, I'll write you a Christmas song. Because some of these artists, the last thing on their mind was to ever write a Christmas song. That was not something they ever saw themselves doing. But because of the cause and the relationship that we built up through the previous album last year, some of those took on the challenge. And to be fair, there were other artists as well who took on the challenge that had to admit defeat, who came back to me and said, I'd love to do it. I've been trying to do it. I just cannot write a Christmas song. So it was interesting to see that, you know, the creative roles that these artists have. Some of them really did want to do it. They just couldn't find their way into writing a Christmas song that they were happy with. You know?
I had meant to actually ask if there was anything that had been specifically written and recorded for this collection.
Yeah. Probably seven or eight, I think, just off the top of my head. Some of the artists that did that were Armstrong, Me Against Misery, Caramel Snow from New York, Code Walkers, and there'd be one or two more. So there's about seven or eight. Perhaps I'll blog something about that in the future to thank them specifically for that, because that was I was going the extra mile.
Yeah, certainly. And not to be egotistical about it, but people who listen to, a lot of artists will listen to this podcast, and you have made the rounds and been invited on others to talk about this. I would imagine that you're going to start hearing from some people that you hadn't thought of contacting or just didn't, who might want to send something in, which would be pushing towards a volume 3, I guess.
Yeah. No, I would be delighted to receive anything, because even if I don't find a home for it, I've managed to establish a lot of excellent links with various podcast stations, blogs, Christmas and non-Christmas. So I would always be able to, you know, to send those, any songs across to various outlets that might be able to make something happen for artists. Yeah, absolutely. The album is heading for some really good airplay in December. The BBC are playing song. The BBC can't play Christmas songs before December, I've been informed by various presenters on the BBC, but they've been in touch with me. BBC Six Music is one of the coolest music stations that the BBC run, and they'll be playing songs from the album. But BBC Radio Wales, I'm in Wales, and that's the national radio station. Two of their presenters have been in touch. Radio X, which is a national radio station in Britain, which covers indie music, they'll be playing songs, and there are a few others as well. So hopefully, as Christmas approaches and these songs start to get played on the radio, there will be people who will listen and think, hey, yeah, this is something that's worth contacting this guy about or whatever. So yeah, I'd be glad to receive any submissions or any inquiries. Absolutely, yeah.
It's just such an amazing project. And really, kudos to you. Wow, this is incredible. 108 songs across two collections, all to benefit Crisis UK. And check the links out in the show notes for here for this episode, so you can click on over and give it a listen. And I think you're going to find things there that you like it. Kevin, thanks so much for spending some time and talking about this. I wish you tremendous success with this. And I'm looking forward to playing lots of these songs on the Sounds of Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Ken. It's been a pleasure. Let me wish you, maybe a bit early, but let me just wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and to all your listeners.
And thank you so much for listening and continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. The new season is well underway, so anytime you're ready for Christmas music, we're ready for you. Just stop by soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store and take the music with you wherever you go. And as far as this podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas next time you're there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas station, or the Sounds of Halloween, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.